So the first question, of course, the most important question is Nitro. Is it actually being delivered to all of the Starbucks? Because the one down the block from me, it's not there yet.
It's coming. You know, I'm not involved day-to-day with Starbucks, but I read the same news you did. I was thrilled to see it because it's been such a big hit. And, yeah, it's coming to every Starbucks store in the country.
Okay, so now that we got the corny joke out of the way, why not announce yet that you're running for president? Because obviously it seems like you're going down this path. You've been pretty open about it.
Well, I can't think of a more important, critical question to be answered on a personal level, family issues. Everyone's got to be aligned, and it's so vitally important for the country for the right person to be the next president of the United States, and that person should not be Donald Trump. I've taken a 8-week period now of traveling around the country. I'm going to continue to do that for the next couple of months. And I said publicly 8 months ago, 8 weeks ago, I'd make a decision at the end of spring, early summer. Mm-hmm. I'm committed to that. I'm learning a lot from what I'm experiencing. I've basically been in a different city almost every other day in the last 8 weeks. And I feel like I'm in a good position to make the right decision, and I'll stick by that.
Family on board so far?
Yeah, my wife has been traveling with me most of the time. I think she's enjoyed it. Our kids were supportive, but this is a very, very big decision. And also, obviously, what I've decided to do is, if I proceed, I'm going to do it outside of the two-party system because the two-party system is broken, it's corrupt. All these problems that we have right now, the national debt, the immigration, our tax policy, one thing after another, these are not problems that have just occurred. These are problems that have been with us for a long time that Democrats and Republicans and this president have not been willing to solve. And I think it's time for the American people to get honesty, truth, and most importantly, a level of civility and dignity and grace in terms of how we are leading this country and demonstrating to the American people how much we care about them.
So on immigration, Democrats, Republicans, we talk about this all the time, and literally nothing ever of substance gets done. Today, the president indicated that next week he might close down the border with Mexico if Mexico doesn't do enough to help stem the tide of illegal immigrants. So what's your reaction to that news?
You know, I read that, and it saddens me once again to see the veiled threats, the rhetoric, the lack of compassion, lack of empathy, and lack of respect for the Mexican people. This president, on a daily basis, it seems can't go 24 hours without insulting some group of people. I think it's outrageous.
So what would you do then? Because obviously there is a problem. Whether it's an emergency is obviously subjective, but there is a problem of people coming into this country illegally. There's also the problem of, you know, we haven't reformed the system, so people who we want to come into this country aren't able to come in the legal way within a reasonable amount of time.
We do have a problem with people who are illegal trying to cross the border. But let's understand something. One of the great aspects of America is people want to come here. And one of the historical aspects of our society is that we're all here because someone has come before us that have given us access to the American dream and the promise of the country. So the Republicans are correct that we need strict borders and we need background checks and we need verification. We have the technology and the resources to do that at the border. We also should be providing ICE with the tools, the resources, and the funding for them to do their job. So I agree with that. I also agree with the Democrats that the Dreamers should have a pathway to citizenship. Mm-hmm. That is the humane thing to do. I also think the 11 million people who are unauthorized, who are here, the majority of them are here because their visa expired. They should also be given a pathway to citizenship. And then the question is immigration as a whole. We are a country of immigrants. Immigrants has been a catalyst for growth, economic growth. We're struggling for economic growth right now. The president promised us 4 or 5% growth. Today in a newspaper, it was reported that we got 2.5% growth. Where's the growth that he promised us? And so the immigration issue is if you got people in a room who were not steeped in the ideology and the extreme of both parties, and you just said, let's do the right thing. Let's enforce borders, give ICE the tools they need, pathway to citizenship and provide legal immigration, we could solve this problem literally in less than an hour. However, here's the truth. The Republicans and the Democrats would rather have this as a political weapon that each one of them has so that neither side can get a political victory. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for over a decade because President Bush and President Obama both submitted an immigration bill to the House at the time, but the opposition killed it. So this is a wonderful example to me of the proxy of the political problem we have and the unwillingness of both parties to do the right thing on behalf of the American people, when in fact almost 80% of the American people polled consistently say we want a common sense solution to immigration. Why can't we get it?
It doesn't sound like your plan is fully different from what President Trump is saying, with the exception of the rhetoric around it.
Because that's not true. The president does not want to give access to the Dreamers. The president doesn't want to give.
He's put that on the table as a potential option.
No, let's not. Let's putting it on the table as an option is his way of just throwing things against a wall that are falsehoods. If he wants an immigration bill passed, then let him come to the table with Nancy Pelosi, who also is equally complicit in all this, and say, this is how we're going to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. Strict border control, background checks, fund ICE, Dreamers get pathway to citizenship, the 11 million people who are unauthorized, let them get in line, pay a fee, pay back taxes, and let's have an immigration bill that's a catalyst for growth for the country.
So how would you negotiate that with Democrats and Republicans, in that there are some on the left who say we don't want any money whatsoever going to ICE, that this is a terrorist organization? There's some extreme voices there.
I think this you've just identified the problem. The problem is that the extreme ideology on the Democratic side and the Republican side will not come together in the interest of the American people to compromise, collaborate, and co-author a bill that works for the American people. That is why I am strongly considering running for president outside of the two-party system. The two-party system, the $22 trillion debt, the immigration issue, our tax policy, our standing in the world, our problem with K-12, a healthcare system that doesn't work. Every one of these problems sits right in the middle of both parties' ideology and their unwillingness to solve this problem. These are problems that can be solved. I've spent the last almost 40 years in business creating opportunity and solving problems. That's what I've done my entire career. And that's what I would do if I run for president and am fortunate enough to be elected.
Do you think we have a gun problem?
Well, I think 40,000 people in America this year were killed in gun violence, the most in 50 years. However, the Second Amendment should be protected and preserved, but there should be, once again, a common sense solution in terms of gun legislation. And once again, 80% of the American people want to see common sense solution to this. We can't get it. And so, yes, we have a problem, but the problem should not in any way eradicate or do anything to the Second Amendment. Second Amendment needs to be preserved and protected for the right reasons. But should we have weapons of war in our society? I don't think so.
What's a weapon of war that's currently in our society? Because automatic weapons have been banned.
A military weapon.
Like what?
AR-15 is a military weapon.
A semi-automatic?
Well, I'm not an expert in militia, but a weapon of war. And what I would do is I would convene military experts on both sides of the aisle who understand this issue, who understand that we do have 40,000 people who were killed this year, more than in 50 years, more than any other developing country. So, yes, we have a problem. Let's convene a bipartisan group of people who are deeply committed without ideology mm-hmm. to try and solve this problem while protecting the Second Amendment.
So do you view that more, because when we say 40,000 people, two-thirds of that roughly are from suicides, and they're usually via handgun.
I'm not sure that's true.
In this country, the trend has certainly been over the last decade that the majority of the gun violence is via suicide. And that's why, you know, generally when we have this conversation, we say, is it about the gun or is it about mental health? It's clearly about both.
Well, I think we certainly have a mental health crisis in this country as well. But this, but convening this group of people, I think, would consider all of that. But the question you ask is, do we have a problem with guns? It's not a question of whether or not we have a problem with guns, but clearly we have a problem if 40,000 Americans were killed this year with in terms of gun violence. That is a problem that needs to be addressed. And the leader of the country, the President of the United States, has a moral obligation to bring both sides together to try and address it and to fix it. And I think if you are working on behalf of the American people, and that's the responsibility of the government and the elected officials, and the vast majority of Americans want to see a common sense solution to this problem, then this is what we should be doing.
When we look at major American cities, and of course we'll start with Seattle, homelessness and opioid crisis is to epidemic levels. What for you is the role of the federal government in trying to tackle this issue without maybe overstepping and getting involved too much on the local level?
Well, I think the federal government has a moral obligation to recognize we clearly have an opioid crisis in America. That is an epidemic that is sweeping across the country. Now, there are many reasons for this. We have a epidemic of loneliness and isolation. We clearly have abuses of pharma and pharmaceutical companies, of doctors in terms of prescribing these drugs. This problem has to be tackled on a comprehensive way, and the federal government has a big role to play. And this is not something that's going to be solved by ignoring it or thinking it's going to go away. In fact, it's getting much, much worse. The homelessness problem, the mental health crisis in America, the opioid crisis, these are all related to the rise of social issues in the country that the federal government needs to be engaged in. And that's the responsibility. And what this comes down to, I think, in all your questions thus far, is it's about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about truthfulness. And it's about honesty with the American people. And, you know, what's going on, there's a lot of false promises. And unfortunately, a lot of the false promises are steeped in the ideology of both parties' unwillingness to come together to do the work for the American people.
So I think some people have overstated your impact on the Democratic Party in a primary system.
Okay.
It sort of depends, I suppose, on who ends up becoming the nominee from the Democratic Party. If it's one of the more fringe voices, I think you have a clear shot, and you can make the argument to the Democrats saying, okay, I'm more of a moderate Democrat. I'm clearly leaning towards the left. Vote for me, not for an Elizabeth Warren or someone like that. But what's the argument to conservatives? Because there are conservatives like me who was initially uncomfortable with President Trump. And I didn't vote for President Trump. But I do like what he's doing, for example, on the justice level, whether we're talking about federal judges or Supreme Court judges. That's what I think is important to me and for a lot of conservatives. So what's the argument that a conservative should vote for you?
Well, first off, I think you just mischaracterized me a bit. I want to just get to that as a left-leaning.
You're not left-leaning?
Democrat. No, I'm a centrist. Everything I'm talking about is through the prism of recognizing that both parties are too extreme on the left and the right, and there's a need for a common-sense approach to all of this. So the first answer to your question with regard to my position as a conservative or conservative leading is that for a decade now, I have been a public, large, loud, vocal voice of the concerns I have about the national debt and the deficit. Now, I always believed that Republicans had a strong view with regard to the economic issues of preserving the integrity of the fiduciary responsibility of our system.
They used to.
Well, they used to only because President Obama was in office for 8 years, and now when President Trump is in office, it doesn't seem to matter. But taking that aside, we're $22 trillion of debt, and we're adding $1 trillion a year, $500 billion a year in interest. So not as a conservative or a left-leaning Democrat, as an American, and if I ran for president, I would run as an American. I'm raising my hand and saying, listen, we cannot allow this debt to continue for a whole host of reasons, not the least of which is the immorality of it, because of putting that level of debt on the backs of our children and grandchildren, and our inability to invest in the future of the country, not the least of which is this is a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't think of another issue that I could bring up that I feel so strongly about that in the past has been a Republican issue. I don't see it as a Republican or Democrat issue anymore. I see it as an American concern issue we have to solve. In terms of my positions overall, I'm leaning towards what the American people believe is in their best interest. And what's in their best interest is a healthcare system that works for them. The Republicans continuously now for 9 consecutive years have said they want to eradicate the Affordable Care Act. Okay, that's a interesting position. What's your alternative solution?
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been one. On the other side, the Democrats now want free Medicare for all. Interesting idea, but that also means 180 million people who currently get their health care from the employer are off the employers. The disruption would be hard to even imagine, not the least of which is a $30 trillion number. So both of them are incorrect. I want to take a centrist approach to solving health care, and I believe I have an idea about that and some principles that would work, and that is fixing the Affordable Care Act so we get the premiums down and we have coverage for every American. You asked me about guns. I support the Second Amendment. It's a Republican issue, I believe. But I believe that
Republicans generally would not say to ban so-called weapons of war if we're talking about like an AR-15.
But I'm taking a centrist position. The centrist position is the American people want a common sense solution to this problem. 40,000 people last year were killed as a result of gun violence. You can debate one way or another how or why they were killed. I don't want to do anything that would disrupt the ability for a sportsman or a hunter or people to bear arms because of the protection under the Second Amendment. I believe that. But I also believe that as society has evolved, we have an issue that we need to address. And our tax policy. I believe the wealthy should be paying more in taxes. I think we need to do everything we can as a country to narrow the gap of inequality, that the greatness of America and the American promise will not be sustainable if it's only available to a few and not for everyone. And what we haven't talked about is our standing in the world today, and that is our national defense, our standing in the world, our relationship with our allies, the fact that Russia is an enemy of this country, that this president has turned a blind eye in dealing with Russia the way we should be. China is not an enemy of the United States, but a fierce competitor. Their goal in life is to displace us as the number one economic power. His approach to how we're dealing with them, to me, is just not something that I would even consider. I think the trade and tariff war has hurt every American consumer, certainly has hurt every farmer, everyone in the steel industry. And we're nowhere with North Korea, and it's been a charade, a sham. And we need China's help in co-authoring a strategy for North Korea. So everything I'm talking about, every issue, is steeped in two things. One is what is in the interest of the American people, and also speaking about it in terms of true, authentic honesty, civility, and leadership. And the last thing I'd say is that, do you have children?
I don't.
Okay, so if you have a child in this country today, and you're thinking about the future of your children and your grandchildren, and all the things that we've just talked about, just think about one thing, and that is the character, the morality, the lack of civility, the lack of grace of this president. And does anyone in America want to model their behavior of their children based on how this person who sets the tone and the character of our country? And the answer is no. And so that alone to me disqualifies him to be the next president of the United States in 2020.